Me and technology, but who knows, right? Okay, so we're recording the audio at least, so hopefully that'll be helpful. And you can see my screen, so hopefully that's good here. All right, so I'm just going to briefly go over a couple of news pieces. If you have a question, type it in the text box here, and let's see, I'll make sure that everybody's muted. Let's see here. Okay. Mute. Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm muting everybody, and we will just go ahead and get started. All right, so I'm going to go over a couple of news pieces, and like I said, if you have any questions while we go through this, just type it in the little text box here. And first of all, most of you are a current six-week course participants, and so welcome and thank you so much for joining the course. I really, really hope, and I know that if you've been admitted into this course, then at least from the first glance or the first assessment, I think that you will be able to go ahead and get started in medical writing if you put your mind and energy into it. It takes a lot of work. It's not easy. It's like starting any new career. But if you're into the course, then you at least have the basic background qualifications. So that's great, and congratulations on that. And I'm also really honored and humbled to be a part of this and helping people that want to get into medical writing. You've all seen my story or whatever on the platform, and I started 20 years ago. I'm really getting quite old. But a long time ago, I started in medical writing, and thank goodness that I found this profession, and I enjoy helping people get into medical writing as a way of being at home and making their own schedule and that kind of thing. All right, so we're going to start off with this news piece. If you have any problems seeing the screen, let me know in the text box. But I'm going to go over each piece. Now, this is an example of a piece that I thought was very well written. It was by one of the students in the course from a couple of courses ago. And I'll go through exactly why I thought it was well done. The first thing we have here is a headline. And it's very simple. It says, improves disease control in rheumatoid arthritis. And the reason that's good is that it's short, but it has enough detail that it describes the main finding. And it actually does describe a finding. It doesn't say tofacitinib in rheumatoid arthritis. It says it improves disease control in rheumatoid arthritis, which is the part that counts. All right? So that's good. And then it's nice and short. It stays within the first line of the title of the first line of the piece. And then it also begins with the first word. It begins with the most important part of the piece, which is the drug name, because this is for a clinician audience, and so that they will pick up that name. And believe it or not, if you think, well, this is only a few words long, what does it matter what order the words are in? It really actually matters a lot when you're writing news because, you know, our attention span these days, we have so many things that are vying for our attention that if we don't catch them in the headline or the first paragraph, then, you know, all bets are off. So we need to start out with the most interesting word of the piece, and in this case, it is the drug name, as it usually is. All right, so the next part of this is a tagline, and this is not the case in all news pieces, but the style that I wrote, like thousands of pieces for Medscape way back, they have a tagline, and that actually appears on their homepage, separate from the news piece, but that was a requirement. And so that just basically describes the main finding. Also, maybe in a few more words, it tells us a phase 3 trial. That's important information to have up front because phase 3 trials are important. And then you'd have your writer name, and then you have the date. And again, this changes, varies by client, you know, depending on what it is. Always get a sample. One rule of medical writing is to get a sample that you can follow. Client doesn't always give you that, but it's good if you can ask for that. All right, so the date is the date that the piece is written, not necessarily the date of the presentation. All right, so this is the first paragraph. Now we're down to this part, and it basically says the same thing. It feels like you're repeating yourself in the title, the tagline, and then the lead paragraph. But it basically is nice and short. It begins with the most important word in the piece, which is the drug name, and it says the find in a succinct way. And it also says the it says that it's a phase 3 study, which is important. This is the lead investigator, which is, so if you have a paper and maybe have 5 authors on the piece, let's say that the lead author of the piece, the first name, is presenting it at the conference or in the journal, you use that name, just the first name, and then you put the affiliation. And then this is a study, which is oral START investigators. If it's a famous study, you can do that like that, or you can just put and colleagues, it's fine. And then the publication date and the publication. And I call this the housekeeping paragraph, and you know, it's one way to do it. It's a pretty standard thing to do because you want to have this information up near the top of the piece because you don't, if you're reading it, you want to know where it was presented. That's a pretty important thing to know. So it's good to get all that out of the way. And like I said, I call this the attribution paragraph. All right, so the next part is background. And I'll show you one thing also that I like about this news piece is that these paragraphs are very short. Even though it's kind of dense information, you've got p-values and all this, that, and the other, they're nice and short paragraphs. And so if you could do that, it makes for a useful piece that the editor doesn't have to chop up into smaller paragraphs. And I noticed many people coming from academia, we all write these long paragraphs, and we're not used to writing in a news style. It's perfectly good and desirable, in fact, to have shorter paragraphs. All right, so this is the background paragraph, and this would be the next one. So you want to give the information that's needed, you know, whatever's needed to put the findings in perspective. The clinician will probably know what tofacitinib is, but it's a newer drug, so it's good that we've got the actual mechanism of action here. And what the relevance is, it hasn't been studied as an alternative to methotrexate. And basically, it's answering the question of why is this study being done. What we don't want to have in this paragraph that sometimes I see is we don't want to have like a detailed explanation of the disease state, rheumatoid arthritis, because the clinician hopefully will already know that. So if we're writing for a clinician audience, we want to keep that in mind. Hopefully our clinician knows all about rheumatoid arthritis. All right, the next paragraph is a continuation on, and it's broken up into two parts. It's still background information, and it's still answering the question of why the study was done and basically what the study did. It compared the efficacy and safety of this drug with methotrexate. So that's a very nice entry into the study findings. All right, the next is the actual study design. And again, you don't want to make it too detailed in terms of, you know, you can go into all kinds of details if you look at the paper perhaps, but you don't, you just basically want to have the size of the study arms, how long they were treated, and that kind of thing. All right. To assess disease control and progression, investigated used as primary endpoints, and a little bit of detail on that. And this is just at the line of being, you know, maybe too much detail, but since it's for a clinician audience, it's fine that this information is in here like this. Okay, at 6 months, and this is the results. So this is the methods, and this is the results. At 6 months, more patients receiving tofacitinib, 5 milligrams and 10 milligrams, had an ACR 70, blah, blah, blah. So basically, we're just describing the results. In a clinician piece, when it's a clinical trial, it's a good idea to have a p-value that's actually included in the piece. For a general audience, you might skip that and you might just say significant, but p-values are desirable for a piece about a clinical trial. All right, and like for example, this is good writing because it's succinct too. So this sentence right here, it says similar findings were maintained at 12 and 24 months. You really couldn't describe the findings any more succinctly than that. And I'm sure in the paper that it went into, you know, all kinds of details about what happened at 12 months and 24 months, but it doesn't make a difference to this news piece when we're relaying these findings. So it was very good here to just summarize this and put it as one sentence. Okay, so does that make sense? I hope so. All right. Infections were the most common serious adverse event. So usually in a news piece, you'll have the study findings first, if it's an efficacy study, which a phase three it will be. And then after that, you'll have like the adverse events. And you definitely want to be sure to include that because otherwise it looks like you're just promoting the findings, and you want to balance it out with any adverse events that are important for the clinician to know about. And here's some more information on adverse events. All right, and here we have, and it doesn't have to be this way, but oftentimes it's good to have a quote at the end of the piece, and especially a quote that comes from the discussion section. And it can be even, you know, it's basically better. If you have an opinion about the findings, it's really not for us to have the opinion about the findings. But if you quote what's in the paper, you can put whatever kind of quote you want that supports the findings. You know, they might say, this is the first time we've ever seen these amazing results, and you could put that quote. In fact, you would want to, because that helps summarize the findings for the reader, and you have to attribute it. And I changed up this, I edited this paragraph here just because instead of running into this quote like this, it's better if you can start with the quote. Let me see if I can final. So right here, excuse me, right here, you can see this is better if you start out with the quote and then have the attribution rather than having the attribution up front, but that's not a big deal. Excuse me. And this is, the only is in the wrong place here, no big deal, but make sure your onlys are in the right place. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, go ahead and read up on all that. All right, and then the results cannot be generalized, and then we had another quote here. And so that was really good. And then right here, we have, at the end, we have the sponsorship information, and then we have the reference. And the reference will vary the way it's written, depending on the news outlet that we're talking about. Another place that's really good to put a quote is right after this background, or right after this attribution paragraph. Here you can have, if it's a really important study and it's the first time that we all did, you know, they did something or whatever, if you have a striking quote, you can put it right here. Now, it doesn't really matter either way, but it's nice to put a quote up front because quotes are very, they grab the reader's attention and they drive the piece forward. So if you're losing your reader right after like the attribution paragraph, then, you know, it's good to have a quote because then it brings them back into the piece, okay? All right. So any questions about that, please go ahead and write in this little text box right here. All right. Now I'm going to give an example of a piece that had a few more changes in it, and you know, I'm not saying it was badly done or anything, but had a few things that I can comment on. So overall, this was there's a lot of markings in it here, but it's nice and short, and the paragraphs are pretty short, so that's good. The heading is is reasonable. Eating peanuts early on may prevent peanut allergy later. However, it might be nice to have it be a little more specific in terms of what does early on mean. It turns out that they explain it in the next in the lead paragraph, but I would say during infancy instead of early on, just to be a little more specific in the title. All right, early on, early exposure to peanuts, and this is the tagline again. So that was good, and it summarized up the main finding. And then we had a lead paragraph here, and this started out with the phrase, findings show that, and that's a lot of words before you get to the main point. And I know that just seems like a minor thing, but the more we can just start out at the lead paragraph with the main, you know, the main words, the better, okay? So early sustained consumption of peanut products greatly decreases the development of peanut allergy in high-risk infants, while peanut avoidance is likely to increase the frequency, according to a new study. So I put, that was me rewriting the findings show that. I put that at the end of the paragraph. All right, so then we have the affiliation and the publication. All right, then we have the background paragraph. So widespread occurrence of peanut allergy, and that's fine, and that very well sums up exactly why they're doing the study. And I believe this quote right here was from, it's further down. Let's see, hold on a second. Let me just check. Okay, no, actually, what did I do here? I think, so what happened is I had a copy of the paper, and I looked in the paper and saw this quote and thought that it was good to include this to help explain the background a little better. So this is a case where we added a quote further up to add a little bit to the piece and a better explanation about why they're doing this study. All right, so this is basically the study design, and then we have the primary outcome. And I'm sorry, I can't really talk and read at the same time. It's hard for me to understand what's going on here. But I think that, I had some issues with the way this was written, but I'd have to drill down into that and look at the paper to see why I was having an issue with it. But anyway, suffice it to say that this paragraph should just basically have the findings in it, and then we had some more findings here. I think I had an issue with the way the results were expressed, but that's fine. All right, then we have a little bit about adverse events, and that's fine. And actually, I think maybe this was left out, which that something like that would need to be included. We need to always be sure to include the adverse events, because otherwise, we're not really doing our job reporting a balanced news piece. This one is a quote that was in the article that I thought would be interesting. Actually, so here's this part right here. This is the adverse events. She actually did include it, and it was, so I put it in with the other adverse events. Okay, then I put in a quote, and here's another quote too. And that's fine. And then we have the funding information, and then we have the reference. I'm at a loss for words today. I'm trying to get my brain in gear here. All right, so there's that one. And so this isn't bad at all. It's not bad considering, you know, many people coming into the course haven't ever written a news piece before. So, but you can see it follows the basic structure. But there was some little things that could have been done a little differently. All right, and let's open up one more. So another step towards a malaria vaccine. So I took issue. I didn't change it, but this title is short, but And I guess you could argue for leaving it as is, but in my mind, it's a little bit nebulous, and I would like to see something more specific. So I'm not sure. I'd have to look a little closer at the rest of this paper to see how I might change it, but it's just something to think about. Titles should be short but specific. All right, so here's the tagline, Anti-Malarial Vaccine Research Evaluates. I personally have a personal hatred of the phrase looks at when we're talking about a study, unless it's really looking at it, like a fluoroscopy or something. It should really be evaluates. That's just my preference. All right, evaluates immune response in parasite life cycle, early in parasite life cycle. So the question is, does it really do that, or what is the news here? What is the main finding? I'm not sure this captures that, so I'd have to look more in the paper to see what was going on. So immunization with PFAS and radiation can lead to nearly 100% protection against malaria in humans. Okay, so this is probably what I would pull out for the title, especially since it's for a clinician audience. So I would say vaccine provides nearly complete protection against malaria, and that's what my title would be. New vaccine would provide protection. That's what I would put for the title, probably. All right, so here is the attribution and the journal name. And while I'm going through this, think of any questions that you might have, and please put them in the text box here, okay? And hopefully everybody can still hear me and see me. I've had that issue before. So if you can't hear me or see me, well, you're not going to know to write something in the text box, but it should help me to confirm that you can hear me and see me. That would be great. If you can just type something in the text box, let me know you're still there. That would be good. Okay, so again, we're going through, researchers have been working on vaccine, and so that we have the background information, why are they doing the study, and the study objective. This is well explained, and that's good. And then the study findings, and, oh, great, thank you, Katie, appreciate it. All right, so I just made a few little edits here. This double space, everybody over 40 tends to do double spaces. Everybody under 40 does single spaces. We need to act more like the under 40s and do single spaces. That'd be great. So always, I never put a double space in unless you're told to, which I can't think of the last client that asked us to put in a double space. All right. So here is, further research will determine whether the novel PFAS parm antigens can induce protection against malaria either individually or in combination. All right, that's fine, but what would be better is if this writer had gone into the discussion section and pulled out an actual quote that we can follow, right? So, because this is a bit, you know, like, how does the writer know this exactly? Well, you don't want to speak for the authors when it comes to something like this. So, like I said, anytime you can use a quote, either down here at the end or further up top, then the better. And this news piece is a little short, especially since this is probably pretty complex. This the vaccine that's being made, it would have been nice to have a little discussion about, how this vaccine's different, or, you know, anything more that's in the paper about that. All right, so then we have the funding and the reference. So that's really it. I hope that gives a good overview. When it comes to picking a news piece to write, it really doesn't matter. I would say it's easier to write about a phase 3 study, you know, something that's brand new and just came out and is in a somehow is in humans. When you're talking about like a single gene that's being studied in a rat, it gets a little bit hard to pull out the scintillating news. So anything that's practice changing in the New England Journal of Medicine or JAMA or whatever free paper you can get your hands on, go ahead and use that. Please resist the temptation. If something's very newsworthy and it just came out, please resist the temptation to look at other news pieces that have been written on that article. Go ahead and write it without looking at any of those. But it's certainly good, once you've written the piece and turned it in, to look at and see how it was treated in the press. It's a good thing to do. All right? Okay, we've got everybody can hear and see me. That's great. I hope that it's just really a little rectangle of my face in the bottom of the screen rather than the whole screen. I hope not. I don't know how that's going. I hope it's all good like that. I'm not sure. I can't really tell. All right. And Edison, you mentioned that you're watching on a computer and listening on the phone. And if that's fine, you can also put headphones into your computer. And if you do the settings right, then you'll be able to hear and see me through the computer. So it's another way to do it. All right. So I look forward to getting everybody's news piece that's in the six-week course. And if there's any questions about writing news pieces, let me know right now. That'd be great. Gala says, are news pieces written for primary research, not clinical trials? Would they be significantly different? I would say that yes. So there are things that are interesting about primary research, depending on what it is. You know, if it's going to be practice changing, ultimately, and I'm trying to think of a good example. Like if you had a study where you had a closed-loop system for insulin, let's say, and it was a precursor to being able to do that in humans to cure type 1 diabetes, then sure, that's very newsworthy, right? So, but when it's clinical practice, when it's medical news, it's usually for clinicians, and they all want to know, you know, how do I treat my patients, and what do I, you know, when my patient comes in and asks about this, what do I need to tell them? So that's, they're really doing from a more clinical trial perspective. But that's a very good question. I also want to mention, while I'm thinking about it, and while I'm talking, please think of any other questions that you have. But a lot of people coming into the six-week course, you know, they've had academic backgrounds, and we're all used to sitting in a lab and, or, you know, whatever, in our offices reading stacks of journal articles, and or going deep into a journal article, like spending maybe 2 or 3 hours reading it and analyzing it. And when you're a medical writer, you don't want to do that, okay? Because a news piece, yes. Katie has asked, these news pieces should be directed to a clinical audience. Yes, that's right. And I hope that I mentioned that. And if I didn't, then I need to go back in and fix that. But yes, when you write these news pieces, go ahead and direct them as if it's for a clinician reading it. Okay, so that's important. Yes, Bree, is it possible for these calls to be recorded for later viewing for times that we cannot make the call? Yes, normally, in all the time I've been doing this, I've never had a problem recording the call using this little button up here. I don't know if you can see that on my screen. But today, it's telling me that I don't have access to that. So I don't know why that is, but it is the case. However, I am recording the call. And I will load that audio up into they'll be available at the six-week course website under weekly calls. If you can see my website here. Anyway, you don't need me to pull that up. But yeah, under the weekly calls tab, I think it's under resources on the main tab, and then weekly calls. So you'll be able to see all the playbacks. And I think I've covered this topic before, actually. I've covered this topic before, this very same topic, in a different call. It'll come out slightly different, but basically it's the same information. So that's on that website also. Yes, Tricia, thanks. So 1 p.m. Pacific, it happens to be... I changed the time, and I think it's... Let's see, let me pull up this page, the weekly call page. Whenever you really want to know what's going on with the weekly calls, go ahead and look on this page, and I'll pull it up for you. Hold on a second. I think the call time was 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, but I've had to change it to 2 o'clock because of an appointment that I have with my daughter at 4 o'clock, so every Tuesday. So here you go. So the resources and weekly call. All right? And there you go. So, and if you see that, you can go ahead and like my page if you haven't already, if you don't mind doing that. All right, so here are the times. Today's right now 2 o'clock EDT, and it tells you what it's about. And I'm going to put the link to this recording right here, so you'll be able to listen to that if you want to. All right. Okay, so Edison, go through and read the... Edison's asking, did I miss something? Where do we find the articles to summarize? You can go ahead and find them through PubMed or any place online. A lot of the articles are free, and you can pick your own article. So I want you to select one, and if you're not sure, just go ahead and email me about it, and I'll tell you whether it's something that you should cover as news. I'm likely to say yes, but sometimes you should avoid review articles because those aren't typically newsy. That's just somebody's opinion. So what you want to do is a clinical trial or some kind of research finding. All right, Gallner, how would a clinician... Oh, and I forgot to say, so read the guidelines that come with the course right on in the first week, I think it is. Or it says start here, and it'll explain all that, I think. All right, so Gallner, how would a clinician contact the medical writer if they have a question about the news piece? That's interesting. I've actually never had that happen. I've had a clinician go to whatever publication it is, like my editor at Reuters Health or Medscape. I've had a clinician, or the pharma company actually, you know, complain about the way something was written. Once in a while that'll happen. But they never will contact you. So I hope that makes sense. I'm wondering why you would ask that. Just curious. That's an interesting question. All right. It also, I cover in week three, In week three, okay, here Gulna says, just wondering, since when I read stuff, I always have some questions that you want to ask the writer. I'm not sure I follow. That's cool. Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know how to answer your question. I guess, you know, they can always find your email somehow if you're a well-known writer. But I've rarely been contacted by the actual researcher. Usually it's the other way around. I'm trying to reach out to the researcher, trying to get him or her to comment on the paper that I'm writing. That's usually what I'm doing. And I cover that in week three. All right, general guidelines about the length of a news piece. For the purposes of the course, I'm writing like the three example pieces. I would say, you know, a minimum of 350 words, but it can be, yeah, 300, 400 words is fine. And you can do a little more if you want, or 500 words is fine. When you start adding in quotes from the researchers, like if you ever get, you wouldn't want to do this for the example because obviously it's not a real news piece, it's just an example. But in real life, if you're getting a quote from a researcher, and I'll tell you how to do that in week three, then your piece will get much longer, not much longer, but longer than that, so it'll add to the wording. Anyway, I want to go back to a point that I was making earlier, and that was when you come from academia, you're going to spend a long time reading a paper, and when you're writing a news piece, you want to spend as little time as possible. It doesn't sound good. It sounds like you're taking shortcuts, but the ideal thing to be able to do is to write a news piece in about an hour, and maybe even less. And so if you have the New England Journal of Medicine article there and you've got the abstract, the first thing you want to do is to look at the conclusion in the abstract itself, so the main finding. And I don't know if I have a paper on my computer right this second to show you the example, but you all know what a paper looks like. So go to the abstract in the paper and make sure you get your head around what is actually the main finding. Put that as the title, and then read the abstract And the abstract will hopefully have everything you need to know in that in order to write the news piece, right? So you might look in the paper if you're not quite clear on the methods or, you know, the comparison arm or whatever it is. But basically, you should be able to write the news piece just from looking at the abstract. Avoid, obviously, the temptation to cut and paste and not change it up. You must not plagiarize, even though the abstract is very close often to what you want to say in the news piece. And then finally, at the end, when you are done writing the bare bones of the news piece, then you want to look in the, usually the discussion section will have the best quotes that you can add at the end of the piece. And then you might find a good quote at the very end of the introduction section in the paper that explains why they're doing the study, and that's often a good place to quote also. All right. Okay, Gulner, is it appropriate to write some relevant background material that is not listed in the paper? Yes, it is. You don't have to for these assignments, but oftentimes, it's good to go to a legitimate source. So, for example, if you're writing an article about hepatitis B virus, for example, and you want to put in there some stats about Hep B and how it's been increasing in prevalence. I don't know if it has, but let's just say you would get that information. You could get it from like the CDC, right? The CDC website. And so you might put something like, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, hepatitis B virus infection has been increasing amongst blah, 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 age group, or whatever, the background that's relevant. And so that is something that might not necessarily be in your article, but it would be, you know, relevant to include that. But it's not necessarily expected, and I would actually caution against doing that because it kind of might be, you know, it might not be the general style of what they do, or like what the client does. So just follow the lead of the sample for that when it comes to something like that. All right. Great questions here, everybody. I'm very excited to have everybody here on the call asking these questions. So that's great. I'm trying to think what else to tell you. So yeah, so when you write these news pieces, you know, really, really try to get them. And the first time you do one of these news pieces, it'll probably take, you know, 3 hours, and you'll be like, how can I make a minimum hourly rate doing these news pieces if it's going to take this long? But once you've done a few, you'll get faster at them, and, you know, it'll be good. Because for Medscape, they pay about, like, $300 a news piece, and some of the other places, the least they pay is about $100 an hour, $150, something like that, depending on what the outlet is. So if you're writing that in, you know, less than an hour, that's a pretty good hourly rate. All right. Not if you take 8 hours to write the news piece, though. I'm sorry. So Gulner says, during the 6 weeks, will we write articles that are for a general audience or that are not news pieces? Okay, so the only pieces that I require are at least, and you don't even have to do them if you don't want, but what I suggest is to do 3 news pieces and turn them in, and that gives me a good sense of your writing and other things like following directions and all that kind of thing. And so that's the main thing. And then after that, depending on what week it is, so week 4 is CME, so for that week you might want to try to knock out a needs assessment or at least part of one. You might want to write a feature article in week 5, or at least a query letter for a feature article. So whatever catches your fancy, so to speak. And then also during the 6 weeks, you'll all receive the assignments that go out to the subcontractors that work for NASENT. So you're welcome to work on anything that goes out to them also. Obviously you won't get paid for it, but you can do it as a sample and we can give you feedback on that. All right. So Edison, how do we know what's actually newsworthy? I mean, how do we actually select an article to summarize that Medscape might be interested in buying? All right, so for the purposes of this course, you want to select something that might be practice-changing or that would be interesting to a clinician, all right? So that's that. And then with Medscape, what you actually don't, you won't actually be pitching to Medscape, all right? Medscape is a, was a client of mine. I don't write news for them anymore. But, you know, whatever client that you get in the area of news, if that's what you end up writing about, you'll get yourself, all right? It won't be one that you got through Nascent, but you will go out and get a news client yourself, and then they will, you will, you can pitch to them whatever they need. It depends on what the publication is. I mean, like if it's, let's say a trade publication in neurology, then they're going to want a different type of piece than a general piece for Doctor's Guide or Reuters Health. All right, so that depends on the publication, but you don't pitch. You can pitch a conference to these places. Like if you're going to a conference in 3 months' time, and you have covered the travel and you've got access to the conference, then sure, say I can write 10 pieces from this conference. Would you like that? So that's something you can do. So all that's in week 3, though. All right. Okay. I noticed on one of the samples that you used today, there were numbers in brackets, e.g. 3 as if references. Is this common for medical news articles? I don't remember that. No, they don't normally have references like that in news articles, although some of them do, so you really just have to get a sample. So the number one rule of all medical writing projects is that you want to find a sample to go by that they like using. All right. These are great questions. Thank you, everybody. It's much better than me talking into like a dead silence. So, all right, Becky says, when you write news releases on topics you haven't covered before, are you still able to complete them in about an hour? Yes, unbelievably so, yes. In fact, it can sometimes be distracting if you have a whole bunch of knowledge about a certain area and you start writing a news piece about it because you know so much and the tendency is to want to interject your knowledge into the news piece rather than just sticking to what's in the news piece itself, in the journal article itself. So there are a few areas that I don't really think that I know enough about very few topics that I wouldn't feel comfortable writing a news piece about. And that's not because I know a lot about a lot of things. I know a little bit about many things, but I just know that as a medical writer, I mean, all you have to do is just read a review article on a topic just to get the background. You don't even need to do that, you know, but you can do that. And it's a good idea to, you know, if you're in an unfamiliar area, to just look at, like, even Google News and see what the latest events are in that area can be helpful. But yes, it should only take about an hour to write a news piece. So that's the goal anyway. Just don't take 8 hours. That's all I'm saying. All right. Anybody else? This has been so entertaining on my side anyway. I hope for you too. I'm trying to think if there's anything else about news pieces. One thing, you know, definitely if you do plan on going into medical writing, it's worth it right now to buy like a Stedman's medical dictionary that you can load on your computer, and that's for PC, and then for Mac, I'm blanking on the name, but there's an equivalent medical dictionary, and that's good to get that on there because you don't want to turn in things with a bunch of, you know, errors in it. And then also just be really careful about spelling the affiliation names correctly. And the safest way to do that is to always cut and paste that name rather than typing it in. All right, so just be really careful about that. That's just really important. And then also you will need to look up their degree because sometimes the abstract or whatever won't give you the degree, but it's good to get that correct also. So Edison says, ultimately you'll be writing for specific clients and that will determine the articles you review. So ultimately you will be writing for specific clients and that will determine the articles you review. Yes, I think I understand what you're saying. So yeah, basically, if you go out and find a client, right, your own client, nothing to do with NASENT, just go out and get a news coverage client, for example, then they will determine what they want. You know, they might give you an area of, like, let's say you're covering a conference, they might give you like things that they want covered at the conference, for example, or they might send you journal articles that they want you to cover and summarize. So they will tell you that. Yeah. All right. Anything else? Okay. I'm trying to think of anything else. Would a client ever want you to create artwork? Nobody would ever want me to create artwork. No, I mean, there are or visuals for the article. Yeah, that's a good question. Very few medical writers actually offer like graphic design because, you know, that's a whole nother thing. I mean, people spend their lives getting good at graphic design just like they do at writing. But I've been asked at conferences to get photographs of clinicians, and that's fine. And what you can do often, or what often happens if you're writing like a manuscript and there needs to be a bar chart or a table, then you will go ahead and create that, and then usually the client has an in-house graphic design facility or whatever, they do that. But it's up to us as medical writers to make suggestions for graphics. We also might find an image on Google or whatever that just, you know, is good as a figure, and we'll say, okay, this is the link where I got it. And then they would need to recreate that so that they're not plagiarizing or copywriting, you know, violating copyright on the graphic. So it would be up to us to suggest it, but not to create it. You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you. And, you know, please go ahead and sit down and write those first news pieces. And because that's really what starts it all off. And then the more samples you can turn in, the better. For, you know, you want to get your money's worth, right? So that's all good. All right. Well, thank you so much. And if you have any questions, I'll be doing this next week. Let's see what we're doing. What to expect as a newly self-employed medical writer, challenges, pitfalls, and benefits of all that. So bring your questions to that, and we'll have a good time. All right, thank you.